Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. And we're looking at verses 9 through 13. This is called often the Lord's Prayer. If you remember when Brother David preached a series of messages from the Sermon on the Mount, he pointed out that this is really not the Lord's Prayer, though we really call it that. It's really a model prayer or a sample prayer. When the disciples had asked Jesus to teach them how to pray like John had taught his disciples, Jesus gives them this example of prayer. And I want us to see about 9 things in it briefly. I say briefly tonight. So let's begin in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's pray. Father, we just come to you right now, asking you to help us to be illuminated from your word, to get something that will be a blessing to us to take home tonight as we see some wonderful truths about ourselves in this model prayer from our Lord Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look at that model prayer. And the first thing I want you to notice is that in that model prayer, it reveals our parentage, our Father, which art in heaven. It is great to be able to say, God is my Father. I'm a member of the family of God. When you look in the New Testament, you'll find there are 3 times that what the Bible uses a prefix to Father, Abba Father, Abba Father, 3 times. And that's kind of a term of endearment, we might use Papa or Daddy. I know any time I referred to my dad, I never called him Father. I only said Father when I talked to someone else. And I might then say, my father is. But I always used a more endearing term, especially when I wanted the car keys. Daddy was more the term I used most of the time. It's a term of endearment. It's a time, you know, of just simplicity of a child to a parent. And God is our Father. And the wonderful thing about that is that we have the privilege of talking to the greatest Father in all the universe. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, is the one to whom we can address ourselves. He is our Father. We have a great parentage. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And it just seems like John is saying, hey, I know about love of children for parents, parents for children, mates for each other, love for friends. But what kind of love is this? What manner of love is this that the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God, members of the family? God is my Father. 1 John 1:12, as many as received him, received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We have a wonderful parentage. God is my Father. Unfortunately, sometimes there are situations where children grow up in a home where their parentage is not so good. And it's sad, oftentimes, some of the counseling situations that a pastor may deal with from homes that were just broken homes and unhealthy homes. But my God is a loving Father who cares and watches over and provides for his children. And it is an honor to say, God is my Father. Another thing I want you to notice in this Sermon on the Mount is in the second statement there, where the Lord's Prayer reveals our need for holiness. Hallowed be thy name. God is a holy God. Over in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, God is a purer eyes than to look upon iniquity. And yet he looked on ours and nailed it to a cross, bore it to the cross, so that we could have the forgiveness of sin. But he wants us to be a holy people. He wants us to have our lives cleansed. Over in the Old Testament and again in 1 Peter, you have that phrase, be ye holy as I am holy. God wants us to have a life that is dedicated and consecrated to him. Get out of it the habits that are not good. Get out of it behavior that is not good. In that, I think it's the third chapter of Ephesians that has the closing section there that tells us a whole list of things. Get these out of your life. They don't belong there. And then reminds us that we are to forgive one another even as God has forgiven us. My, what has God done for you? And that holy life is an important feature in our lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, he says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God wants us to have a clean life. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow after peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The model prayer says, I have a good father. The model prayer says, I need to live a holy life. The model prayer says also that I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. We have a dual citizenship. We are citizens of the United States of America. We are citizens of this country, of this state, of this city. But we are also, overall, are citizens of the kingdom of God. As citizens of our nation, we need to be the kind of people who care for its welfare and are careful to vote for those who may be best carry out the principles of godliness in our world. But we always need to remember that over that and beyond all that, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We live here as dual citizens, and one day we will leave the citizenship of planet Earth and we will move into the kingdom of God. We are citizens. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. In Philippians 3 and verse 20, King James says, for our conversation, literally the word there is citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are citizens of God's kingdom. In Ephesians 2:19, we're no more strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. The model prayer says that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. But notice another thing. This Lord's Prayer reveals that we are also servants. Servants of God. Verse 10, he says, thy will be done. Remember the prayer of Jesus before the crucifixion when he prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he added, nevertheless, thy will be done. Some of us have prayed for things that we wanted, but it wasn't what God wanted. The fact about it is, I'll confess to you, I've asked God for things and was disappointed he didn't do it, but I lived to thank him that it didn't happen that way. Save me from a peck of trouble. But God is interested in our well-being, and we are his servants, and our whole motive in life ought to be, thy will be done. What is God's will for my life? I think every person, as they go out into their life cycle, need to ask themselves, what does God want me to do with my life? How does God want me to serve? What role and purpose does God have for me? And God will make it clear to us. I remember in my own life, I was 17 years old and a pagan, and some friends of mine and I had gone to an outdoor revival meeting, not to hear a message, but we had gone to make fun of the Christians and to laugh at the preacher. But he preached the word. It was 2 weeks outside, and I was hearing the word of God. Even though I wasn't there for that purpose, I was hearing it. And the Holy Spirit took that word of God and drove it like a dagger through me. And before that 2 weeks was over, I wasn't making fun anymore. Before that 2 weeks was over, I'd been saved and God had called me to preach. I've often said God has a sense of humor. I'd gone to make fun of the preacher and it seemed like God said, okay, I'll make you one too. Now, I think God has a sense of humor. But God's will, what is God's will? The psalmist said, I delight to do thy will. I delight to do thy will. And there in Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And in Matthew 12:50, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same, Jesus said, is my brother and sister and mother. And in Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. The model prayer says to us, you need to do the will of God. Another thing, if you'll notice it in verse 12, he says, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord's Prayer reveals that we are beggars needing to be fed. Beggars that need to be fed. The psalmist says in 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. And 1 Timothy 1:8, and having food and raiment, let us be therefore content. God takes care of his children. The psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old. Some of us can say that too. I have been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God says in the model prayer that we too are beggars. Not that we're out on the street begging, but we're begging God, who's our Father and who cares so much about us. Look again at verse 12. The Lord's Prayer reveals that we are sinners and we need forgiveness. It says in verse 12, forgive us our debts. Literally, he's talking about sins. Forgive us our sins. Got any? Got any sins? I've met a lot of people with a lot of problems in life, but so far I've only met one who said he never had sin. He was a young man, and I was supposed to do a wedding for him and a girl that I knew well. And I met him the first on Sunday morning when he came to church with her. And after the service, he wanted me to make an appointment to visit with him that week. He needed to talk to me, and I assumed it was about the wedding. So we had a little get-together that week, and as we visited, he said, something in your sermon Sunday was very offensive to me. I thought, well, you're not the first one, and you won't be the last one. And I said, what did I say that offended you? He said, you said that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he said, I am not a sinner. Well, he was a morally clean and upright young man, but that's not good enough. Jesus said, you must be born again. We have sin that needs to be forgiven. Whoever you are and wherever you are and wherever you've been and whatever you've done, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this model prayer reveals to us that we need forgiveness. Have you had it? Have you been forgiven? It's a wonderful day when God lifts that burden from your heart. The day I was saved, I never felt so good in my life. I went home. I had a habit that when I was about 9 years old, I'd started smoking. Now, I know it won't send you to hell, just make you smell like you've been there. That's what my mother told me anyway. And so that night when I got saved, out behind the old First Baptist Church in Gunter, Texas, I took that pack I had in my pocket and threw it as far as I could throw it. I went home that night. I read the Bible. I'm in my bedroom. And it's about midnight. And suddenly I had a nicotine fit. You've been there, some of you. Well, my dad smoked cigars and a pipe. That wasn't what I wanted. And in my little hometown, there was no place you could buy a pack of cigarettes at midnight. But I knew where part of one was. It was out behind the First Baptist Church. And I got up and got dressed and went down to the church with a flashlight. And I found it. Well, God worked me over that anyway. But it was a struggle. It was a hard struggle. That was the hardest habit I ever had to quit. Took a year to do it. And I would hide them when I'd go preach somewhere, but people could smell it anyway. But the Bible tells us here that we're sinners and we need forgiveness. And I like Isaiah 1:18 where he said, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." In Acts 13:38, Paul writes, "Be it known," or Luke wrote this, "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin." That's Jesus. Okay, look at verse 13 now. The Lord's Prayer also reveals that we are pilgrims needing guidance. We're on a trip in life. As someone said, a trip from the basket to the casket, our journey in life. And we need to have a guide. I love that Psalm 23 that says, "Yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God guides us through the valleys and through the mountains and through the deep places of life. We're the pilgrim, and God is guiding us, and we need to seek His guidance for our life. It's an important thing. The first verse I ever memorized in the Bible wasn't John 3:16. It wasn't even "Jesus wept." The first verse I memorized in the Bible was 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. And I memorized it first because the deacon who lived across the road from me, after I was saved, came to me and told me I needed to memorize this verse. And it's a verse that says, "There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." That is, you'll never be tempted with a temptation no one else has had. We don't all have the same temptations, but someone else has had the same one you have. Common to man, it's a common denominator. Everyone's had some of these. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to stand, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And that dear deacon, bless his heart, he said, "I know the devil's going to be after you." Sure enough, he was. But you need to know that you don't have to yield to temptation. You don't have to, because God will give you a way out. And I memorized that verse. The next day, he asked me to quote it to him, and I did. And he said, "Now I got another verse for you." And my second verse to memorize, 1 John 1:9. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Arthur said to me, "I've known you all your life, and I know that you'll face some temptations, and you'll be defeated by it. You'll fall." And he said, "You need to know how to get up when you fall. Don't stay down. When the devil knocks you down, get back up." And that's what you do. You confess your sins to the Lord. You agree with him about it. Don't try to cover it up or hide it. Agree with him about it and let God have his will and way in your life. We're pilgrims, and we're guided by the Lord. Okay, look at another one. It's also in verse 13. The Lord reveals that our warfare is with evil. It says, deliver us from evil. We're in a conflict with evil. Ephesians 6 has that lengthy passage about the whole armor of God so we could stand against the wiles of the devil. We need to be prepared for the temptations and the trials and the assaults of Satan against us. And we live in a time when sins that used to be committed in the back alley and halfway hidden are now bragged about on Main Street. And we need to realize there is evil all around us, and we need to be on guard. We need to be aware. We need to be careful with our own life. The psalmist said in 5 and verse 4, but thou art not a God that has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. And of course, in Psalm 23, 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. He's with us, and his rod and staff comfort us. Psalm 34, 14, depart from evil and do good and peace and seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 37, 27, depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. And Psalm 119, verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. And then notice how the model prayer closes. It closes by revealing the majesty of God. The majesty of God. For thine is the power and the glory forever. It's in Revelation 5 and in verse 1 that says, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power forever and ever. God is worthy of our praise. And we need to understand that the majesty of God is, we kneel before Him in prayer. We stand before Him in prayer. We fall on our face before Him in prayer. God is majestic, and we are His servants. In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, you have it again. Worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. In Revelation 7, and verse 12, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. In Revelation 19 and verse 1, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation, glory, honor, power, unto the Lord our God. And that will be our prayer to the majesty of God. Can you imagine the greatness of God? So much so that He laid aside the robes of glory and came down to earth as a baby in a manger in the midst of physical poverty to live among us and to grow up and to finally go to the cross and bear our sins in His own body on the tree. The majesty of God. There in Ephesians 2, where it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, equal with God, thought it not robbery, but He took upon Himself the form of a man and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and He did that for us. When on the cross, Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It seemed that the Father was farther away than He could ever been from the Son. And yet in 2 Corinthians 5, you'll read, God was in Christ on the cross, reconciling the world unto Himself. The glory and the majesty of God should cause all of us to bow in humble submission to Him. When you read the model prayer, or when you quote the model prayer, bear in mind, God is speaking to us and has something of great importance to say to us. Amen? Amen. I want you to stand with me now for prayer. And we're going to have our invitation time, and it's a time to search our hearts wherever we are and kind of rededicate our lives right there where we stand. Lord, help me to be a better Christian, faithful to you in the name of Jesus. Father, it's your business, and we're your servants. You're to do your will here on planet Earth. Exercise our heavenly citizenship in the affairs of life. Help us to be the kind of people you want us to be. And I pray that you'll speak to each of our hearts, and we'll go away with a renewed commitment to the majestic God in the name of Jesus. Amen.